Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Appreciate that special. What a beautiful song. The last few Sundays, we've been talking about evangelism. And God has called us to evangelize the world. That takes personal evangelism. It means that each one of us, every day as we go about our lives, need to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we ought to hand out gospel tracts everywhere we go and talk to people about eternity, to warn them of the judgment to come and to invite them to Christ. Just this other day, on Thursday, we were talking to somebody and he didn't think we were doing a very good job inviting people to church, and really we were trying to invite them to Christ, not to church. Church comes later, but we want to invite people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to invite them to repent of their sin and trust in the Savior. And so that takes a personal witness, that takes a personal declaration. But then we also talked about how important it is to have a corporate declaration, that a church is called to go and to preach the gospel to the world. And it's not just the pastor's job, it's not just some of the leadership in the church's job, it's everyone in the church is called to take the gospel to the world. And that's why we have an organized outreach. That's why on Thursday nights we come together and we pray and we get our gospel tracts and we go from house to house in our community to show people the way of salvation. And I want you to know that that still works today. Just this Thursday, we're knocking doors and going from house to house, and we all loaded back up in the van, and a couple of the ladies that were out knocking doors with us got on the van, and they said, somebody got saved. You see, it still works. And I just want you to get that God has called us to take the gospel to the world. And God has given us everything we need, the scriptures, and we talked a little bit last week in both services about how we need to do that. We ought to know how to answer every man. Listen, most of you, if you want to do something, you're going to learn how to do it. And most of you that are interested in something want to do the best you can at it. Most of you guys that love hunting, I mean, you spend time studying about it and you spend time sighting your gun in, and if you don't, then you probably don't do so well when you get out there. But you want to learn about the right kind of ammunition, and you want to learn about the right ways to do it and all those things, and you spend time learning how to be good at what you care about. And if we care about winning people to Christ, then we ought to learn how to be good at it. We ought to learn how to do it, and there's no greater teacher than experience. If you want to get good at soul winning, if you want to get good at preaching the gospel to other people, then go. I promise you, you'll get better at it, and you'll get a bigger heart for it. I'm telling you, you go door to door and you see people in our community that are hurting and they need a Savior, it prompts you to go. It gives you a heart to go. And I'm going to tell you, when you get back on the church van after knocking on doors and somebody says, somebody got saved, friends, the joy of that. I'm just telling you that we need to be in the business of reaching the world with the gospel. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And the Lord gives us this commission to go to all nations. In Mark 16, 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24, 46, the Bible says, Jesus said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. By the way, that's the gospel. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then again in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want to tell you over and over, God gave the commission. Christ gave the commission to His church. And He said, I want you to go to all the earth. I want you to go to the whole world. I want you to take the gospel to all nations. I have a question for you today. How can we do that? Because Calvary has that commission. It's our job to take the gospel to all nations. It's our job to take the gospel to the world. I've never been out of the country. By the way, how many of you have been out of the country? More than I would have thought. But the vast majority of us have never been out of the country. Some of you have never been out of Oklahoma and Arkansas. It's in Muldrow, at least everybody's been to Arkansas, right? We've all made the trip over the river. Okay. But we've been called. Listen, I can take the gospel to the grocery store, and I can take the gospel. Hey, we got a new Dollar General on the mountain. I can take the gospel to the Dollar General. I can even take the gospel to Walmart. I can take the gospel. I go to Muskogee and Tulsa on a regular basis. I've got an area that I travel regularly, and I can take the gospel to all those places. But we've been called to take the gospel to the whole world. We got most of the world on the map on the wall. We need a bigger wall because we had to trim off part of the map. And praise God, we got to start supporting a missionary in India. Brother Ginn is in India, and the Lord's doing a great work over there. Where Brother Ginn is not on the map. So we just had to put him kind of over as far as we could. But if you walk out in the hallway there, you see this map, and it's got most of the world there. So we're to take the gospel to the whole, everything on the map, and then what's not on the map. That's what we're called to do. So how do we do that? And I'm going to tell you, we do it through what we call today missions. Because I can't go everywhere, but God is calling men and sending them around the world, and we can help those men in the work. I want to tell you what I've grown up with is the missionary Baptist way of helping missionaries. You send them a small check every month. It's been the missionary Baptist way. And I want to tell you today, by the Word of God, it's more than that. It's so much more than that. And so today, if you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And I pray that as we kind of take a survey through Philippians this morning, that we will see how we can take the gospel to the world by working and helping and providing for missionaries that are going where God has called them. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd stir up our hearts today, that you give us a passion for global missions, that you'd give us a heart, not only for the lost here, Lord, we want a heart for the lost in our community. But God, give us a heart for the billions around the world. Lord, give us a heart for the men and women that you have called and sent out across the world to labor in the fields of harvest in faraway lands. Lord, in other states, in other nations, in other continents, Lord, give us a heart. And Lord, I pray that this will truly be a missionary Baptist church, and that you will use us to further the gospel around the world. Lord, forgive our sin and help us. And Lord, help us to learn today and to apply the things that we learn so that we can be a greater help to those who are laboring in the fields. And Lord, please bless them today. Please bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you got a bulletin, there were a couple of inserts in the bulletin today, and I hope you get one of these. If you didn't, make sure you get one on the way out. There's a missionary highlight. We try to do this periodically, and
This month's missionary highlight is Brother John Melanson, who has been laboring in Jerusalem, Israel. And he's had a long road, but God has really opened the door in the last year and really blessed. They've got a place where they're meeting. They're having about 40 in attendance now. And I want to tell you, when it started with just him and his wife, this is huge. To have a church meeting together in Jerusalem is a big deal. And pray for Brother Melanson. You can read about that. He also talks about this. Passover this year was marked by the Pesach demonstration with thousands of Israeli people in attendance. It included the kosher slaying of a lamb, which has not happened since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The days are growing closer, my brothers and sisters. The days of the end times seem to be getting close to fulfillment very soon. Be ye therefore ready. John Melanson, March 2018. And things are happening, friends, apace in the global prophetic scale, and we better get busy to reach the world with the gospel. Also, in your bulletin, there was a little card, and I want to plead with you to take this card, to put it somewhere where you'll see it. When I want to put things where I'll see it regularly, we usually put it on the refrigerator or the microwave. It might be good. Some of you could put it in your truck or car by the window, so when you go through the drive-thru, it'll be there. I'm just, places where we go regularly. Hey, some of you ought to put it by the speedometer in your car. Or you could just cover up the speedometer because you don't use it anyway. Yeah. But put that somewhere where you'll keep it. Maybe put it with your prayer list or your devotional book or whatever it is. But these are missionaries. And praise God, there are 10 of them listed right here that we support directly, financially as a church. There are a few others listed that we know personally and would like to pray for. But praise God that there are men around the world that we're able to support. And I pray by the grace of God that we can do more to help those men and their families and the Lord's churches where they're laboring in the fields of harvest for the gospel. So today, I want to just give you a real quick survey through Philippians, because it deals a lot with missions. When you have an apostle who was a missionary who planted the church in Philippi and who then corresponds with them and talks about their correspondence throughout. Now, most commentators will tell you that the book of Philippians is about joy, and I'm not going to argue with that today, but I want to tell you that the joy comes from the faith and obedience of the gospel. That's where the joy comes from. It may very well be about joy, but it's really not about joy. That just happens to be the direct result of faith and obedience to the gospel. And because Paul took the gospel and preached it and people received it and obeyed the gospel by repenting and trusting Christ, they had joy. And he had joy because they believed. And they had joy because he told them. And there was great joy because of the gospel. Friends, I want to tell you, we ought to have joy today because of the gospel. In this world of sin in which we live, the only joy there really is from the gospel. We know that this is a church letter. Paul and Timotheus are writing to the saints with the bishops and deacons. That's where the church is, where the bishops and deacons are. Bishop's another name for pastor. In verse 5, he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And I want you to get that there was joy and there was rejoicing and there was thanksgiving to God because of their fellowship in the gospel. This word, fellowship, it's fellows in the same ship. In other words, guys, we're in this together. And Calvary, we're in this together. You're not alone. I'm not laboring in the gospel alone. I'm not striving for the gospel alone. We're striving together for the faith of the gospel. But it's not just us. It's God's people around the planet, and missionaries and pastors and churches around the world, our sister churches, as we like to call them. We're not in it alone, and they're not in it alone, but we have fellowship in the gospel. We're in this together, and we work together. That's why we're what people would call associational Baptists. What's that mean? It means that we associate with other churches. Why? To carry out the Great Commission. Because we can do more together than we can do on our own. That's profound. Let me say it one more time so everybody gets it. We can do more together than we can do on our own. You say, "What can I do?" I don't know, but you can do something. And doing something's far better than doing nothing. I can't give much, we'll give a little. I can't do much, we'll do a little. I can do a lot, then praise God, do a lot. But we ought to do all that we can and then some, because we're in this together. I want you to know that the first way that we help missionaries is not by sending them a check every month. The number one most important way we help missionaries is to pray for them. Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now listen, there's a lot of details and a lot of stuff we're going to have to kind of skip over. So I beg you to study out Philippians on your own this week. But just look at verses 18 and 19. He's talking about the fact that he's in prison because of the gospel. And some people preach the gospel because they think by preaching the gospel it'll make it worse for Paul. And other people are preaching the gospel in truth because they know it's the truth and they want people to get saved. And he says, I don't care why it's preached. I praise God it is preached. Man, what a heart. Why? Because he has this confidence that the preaching of the gospel is greater than the intent of the preacher. Isn't that good? Some of you are upset. I meet people all the time, upset with churches, upset with preachers, and I don't blame you. I'd be upset with your preacher if I was you too. But it's not about the man, it's about the message. And certainly the vessel needs to be clean, and all those things are true, but I'm telling you that the message is greater than the motives of the messenger. The gospel's greater. And he said, I rejoice that it will. Now, some people get hung up because he says, this shall turn to my salvation. Now, it's not that he wasn't saved and he needed to get saved. He's talking about, he's not talking about that kind of salvation. The word salvation can apply to anything. Amen. If I get stuck in a car and the EMTs pull me out of the car, they saved me from my car wreck. I got saved. My cousin was drowning when he was about a year and a half old in the pool, and they rescued him out of the pool. He was on that show, 911, back in the day. You remember that show? You got to be old to remember that show. But he was saved. What do you mean, spiritually? No, I mean physically he was saved. He didn't drown that day. Okay? So Paul may be talking here about being set free from prison so he could come back to Philippi like he wanted to. That salvation, or maybe, we don't know exactly what he meant, but we do know this, he was already saved. But it's the preaching of the gospel that brings salvation to all men. Those who believe are saved because the gospel is preached. And he says, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that there's a direct link between the prayers of God's people and the supply of the Spirit for the missionary. Brother Melanson can't do anything in Jerusalem without God's help, without the Spirit of God. But there's a direct correlation between our prayers and the supply of the Spirit in his ministry. Brother Scott Borland in Bloomington, Indiana, he's up there laboring and working and doing it, but he can't do it on his own. He needs God's strength. He needs the Spirit of God to move and supply, and that happens when we pray for him. Brother Alan Sheff's just a little while east of there, Virginia. Brother Cervantes in the Philippines. Brother Dave Tears up in Oregon. I mean, the list goes on and on. You can look at it. Brother Ginn in India, and Brother Fernandez in Florida, who's still working in Africa. Brother Dave Maneri in Romania. Brother Pinkovich in Belarus, and the list goes on and on. These men cannot do the work they've been called to do without the supply of the Spirit of Christ, and we need to pray for them so that God will give them the ability to do the work. It starts with prayer. I want to tell you, friends, that this message today is incredibly convicting for me because I know that I have not prayed for the missionaries as much and as fervently and as passionately as I should. And friends, we all need to do better. Why do we do the missionary highlights? So you'll see them and you'll pray for them. Why do we put on the back a prayer list? So that we'll pray for them because they need prayer more than they need anything. And you may not get that because the reality is they need money. And many times when they come, that's what we hear about. They don't have enough financial support, and that's kind of a big deal because they've got a wife and they've got children and they have to eat. They need a place to live and they need a place for the church to meet, and all of those things have to be met, and it takes money. Everywhere in the world, it takes money. And so we think it's all about just send them a check, send them a check, send them a check, and that's it. No, they need prayer more than they need money. They need prayer. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them specifically. Guys, this needs to be more than God bless the missionaries around the world. It needs to be more than that. Oh God, please be with Brother Scott Borland. Please help his wife, Missy. She's had chronic migraines for years and has spent time in the hospital over and over because of these headaches that last for weeks at a time. She's debilitated by them. God, please heal Sister Missy. Please give Brother Scott the ability to take care of her and to preach and to lead the church. Lord, help them in their building project. And Lord, bless those people he talked to last week and he shared the gospel and they need to get saved. And Lord, help those ones who are in the church but they've left. Father, please bless. We need to pray specifically for these men. We need to pray purposely. He said, friends, we over and over, Paul asked the churches to pray that God would open a door of utterance, that he could speak as he ought to speak. Friends, we need to pray purposefully. We don't need to just pray because we're praying and we're supposed to pray. You guys know the Bible warns against praying with vain repetition, right? The Pharisees of Jesus' day would get up and they had these prayers that they had memorized and they repeated them over and over and over, and it was very impressive, and that's what he was talking about. But I want to tell you, I think we better be careful right here at Calvary that our repetition doesn't become vain. Just because you pray the same words doesn't mean it's vain repetition, but it very easily could become vain repetition. I'm not trying to say anything against anybody today, but I'm just going to tell you, when I call on somebody to pray, I could almost pray your prayer for you. I'm not saying that's wrong. If it's from the heart, it's not vain. It's okay. It's good. But I'm just saying we need to be careful that it's more than just God bless the missionaries and help them. No, we need to pray specifically and we need to pray purposefully. We need to pray for the work to go forward, the gospel to be preached, for souls to be saved, for lives to be changed. We need to pray powerfully, friends. We need to pray for God's Spirit to move. The first thing they need is prayer. The second thing they need is partnership. He said in verse 5, your fellowship in the gospel. They were in it together. Because Paul brought the gospel to Philippi, and then he left. But they were still working together. He was still helping and encouraging them, and they were still helping and encouraging him, and they were still working together for the faith of the gospel. And I want you to see this. It's the biggest thing. Partnership is the biggest thing, and it's our biggest downfall as missionary Baptists. We can pray for them, and we can send them support, but we need to learn and be actively involved in working with missionaries. Look at verse 21. 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot or know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. So I want you to look back just real quickly here. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm ready to die and go be with Jesus. Anybody ever feel like that? It's better for me to go to heaven. I'm ready to be with Christ, but it's more needful for me to be here because I want to help you. Paul was in prison. He had a confidence, he had a hope that he would get to go back to him, and I believe he did. Back to them, and I believe he did. But I want you to get this. Even when he was in prison hundreds of miles away, without any certainty he would ever see them again, he had this confidence that he could work with them. I don't know if we'll ever go to Israel. See Brother Melanson in Jerusalem? I'd love to. I have no idea if I could ever go to Belarus and visit Brother Pinkovich just to listen to him talk one more time. I love his accent. You guys remember when he came? He said, "You are too comfortable. American Christians, too comfortable." I love the way he said that. And he's right. We are too comfortable. I don't know that I'd ever get to go there or visit the churches that have been planted by the dozens in Africa. I don't know that I would ever be able to get on a plane or a boat and go to the other side of the world, but I can still partner with those men. We're more connected today than ever before. I don't have to go get on an airplane and fly over there. I can get on Facebook with most of those men. I can be an encouragement to them. I can share scriptures with them, and I can study with them and work with them, and we can help them. There's a partnership that needs to happen. He said, I want to abide. Look at verse 25. I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He wanted their faith to get further. He wanted their faith to be deeper. He wanted their faith to be more real. He wanted their faith to grow, and he wanted their joy to grow. Because the more you believe, the more joy you have. The more your faith is real, the more joy you have. And he said, it all comes back to that faith of the gospel. He said, strive together for the faith of the gospel. But by the way, when we partner with somebody in the gospel, we don't just get to partner in the good. We get the other part too. Having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Persecution had come to Philippi. The Philippian church was starting to feel the persecution that put Paul in prison. And he said, rejoice in that. He said, you're going to have the same conflict. You're going to get to the place where you're going to say, I'm ready to go. It'd be better for me to go to be with God in heaven, but have the same conflict because it's more needful for you too. It's better for you to stay and to help others further their faith in the gospel. Friends, we got something worth living for. We've got something worth living for. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's don't be satisfied that we have it, but let's be burdened that other people would have it too. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. By the way, working out your salvation doesn't mean work for your salvation. It means to live it out. If you're born again, live like you're saved. And do it with fear and trembling. Listen, you ought to know that you're saved, and you ought to live like you're saved. In verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. I want to tell you that if we're going to partner with these men as they take the gospel to the world, then we have to live the right way here. It matters how we live here. Listen, when we're faithful to the Lord, we're living the right way, we're doing things the right way, living blameless and harmless as the children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, then we can shine as lights in the world. Then we can hold forth the word of life. Look at verse 16. When the church at Philippi would hold forth the word of life, when they would shine as lights in the world, it would cause Paul to rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In other words, he says, I want you to be real Christians. I want it to be real. I don't want it to be false converts. I don't want it to be pretend. I want it to be real. I want you to trust Christ and live for Christ and hold up the word of God so that when I die and stand before God, I won't look at the fruit that I've borne in you that it was nothing. You want people to get saved? You want people to be really saved? I had a friend back in my seminary days. I confess to you guys before, I never finished seminary. I'm sorry. Try not to advertise that. But when I was there, I had a friend who liked to go soul winning, and that was good. But in the back of his Bible, he kept those tick marks. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the cross mark. What do you call that? Tally marks. Thank you. Appreciate that. School teachers. Tally marks. He kept tally marks for people who prayed to be saved in the back of his Bible. And I always thought that was weird. I mean, if you just want to keep up with the number or something, I guess that's good, but it almost became like this, it just turned into something else. Like just trying to get somebody to pray a prayer so you could put a tally mark. I don't want that. I want people to be real. I want people to be truly born again and live for Christ till the day they die. So that when we all are around the throne of Christ, it's not in vain. It's real fruit to the glory of God. He said, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, verse 17, I joy and rejoice with you all. He said, if I have to die because I took the gospel to you, praise God. That was the heart of Paul. If I'm sacrificed on your faith, to God be the glory. If I die in this prison because you believe, praise the Lord. And then in verse 18, he says something crazy. For this same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Friends, this means that for the same cause, if I die, you don't be sad about it, you rejoice in it. But it also means that when persecution comes, don't be sad about it, rejoice in it. There's a fellowship, a partnership. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. See the partnership? It's this fellowship in the gospel. It's this fellowship in the beliefs. It's this striving together for the faith of the gospel here and there and everywhere. And it's this partnership of people because there were men who were involved. He said, I want to send Timotheus. Timothy's going to come as soon as I can send him. And I'm sending Epaphroditus now. He was the one that delivered the letter. Epaphroditus came and brought the letter to them and read it to them and worked with them. Epaphroditus nearly died because he gave himself. He spent himself for the cause of Christ. And those people loved Epaphroditus so much, their hearts would have been broken if he would die. And he loved them so much that he was brokenhearted because they heard that he was sick. And friends, there was great love between these missionaries. You ever known somebody like that? Listen, they're in the hospital about to die, but they don't want you to know because it would upset them. It would upset you. That's the kind of thing that was going on. I mean, there was love here. There was great love in this church. Epaphroditus loved them, and they loved Epaphroditus. And Timotheus came, and he would love them. And Paul said, I hope to come. There was a partnership here because there was great love one for another. I wonder how many of us could even write down the list of the missionaries that we support. If we even know their names and where they're at. I'm going to tell you the truth, it would take me a minute. I have to sit down and think pretty hard for a minute to be able to write down each of the missionaries' names and where they're at. There's only 10 of them. It shouldn't be that hard. Friends, I'm telling you that this church loved these men, and these men loved the church, and it ought to be that way. It shouldn't just be this guy came through a couple of years ago and preached a sermon, so we started sending him a check, and that's it. We got to love them. We got to read their reports. We got to care about what's in them. We got to pray for them regularly. Chapter 4, if you'll skip ahead to verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I want you to get this. He starts naming more names. And Euodias and Syntyche, maybe they didn't have the same mind in the Lord, but he said, I'm pleading with them to get together. To have the same mind, because Jesus is coming soon and we've got work to do. There needs to be a unity. He calls them in verse 3, true yoke fellow. What's that mean? Well, back in the day before the retractors, you used to do something. You'd yoke animals together. You'd hook them together with a yoke so that they could work together. Because you can accomplish more with more. Right? You could plow a field with one old mule. But you could do it a lot better and a lot faster with a team of mules. What does that mean? It means that they were put together, they were bound together, and they worked together. So what are we? Well, we're put together through the Spirit of God, through the gospel. And we're bound together through our covenant with this church. And we ought to work together for the faith of the gospel. They were true yoke fellow. He said, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. I keep talking about those men, those missionaries out there, but it's not just men, it's women too. Their wives are with them, and their children are with them, and there are faithful men and women in the churches that are working, and we ought to be for all of them and support and encourage and all those who help in the work. They worked, they labored with him in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Friends, when we start helping and working and supporting. When we help these, he says, help those who helped me. And when we do that, it brings real joy and rejoicing in the Lord. Look down at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. There ought to be prayer. There ought to be a partnership where we've got this fellowship and we join together and we try to do what we can. And maybe the whole church can't go somewhere, but maybe sometime we need to send somebody to help with a project, or we need to send somebody to help do the work. And we have a partnership because when they can, they come here and we fellowship with them and they tell us what's going on, and we know their state. We know what's going on, and we communicate with them, and we help them, and we work together, and we help those that are there to help them. There's a partnership. So there's a prayer, there's a partnership, but then there is a provision. He said they had a heart to, they were careful. They wanted to give, but they didn't have opportunity. But now, at the last, their care has flourished. Verse 14, chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Philippi had a heart to give, but they couldn't. But at the end, their care flourished. He said, I received what you sent, and I have everything I need. I'm full. And he said, what you sent was not just a supply for me, and it wasn't because I wanted to give, but when you gave to me, that was fruit to your account. When we give to the missionary, that's fruit to our account. That's planting. That's investing. And when souls are saved and lives are changed in that other place through that missionary's work and labor, then that's fruit to our account. Not only is it a supply for them, not only is it a blessing for us, but it's also glorifying to God. He said, when nobody else gave, you gave. When he talks about communicated, that means they were giving offerings. They were giving him provision. He said it was glorifying to God. It was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Listen, when we give, it blesses them. When we give, it blesses us. When we give, it glorifies God. Friends, I don't know that there's anything better than that. We give our tithes and offerings to this church, and the church has a missions fund that we send out monies to missionaries around the world. I don't know that there's anything better that we could do, that we could invest in, that's going to glorify God, be a blessing to them, and be fruit to our account. Friends, it just doesn't get any better than that. You say, well, we can't afford to give. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, I've heard that verse quoted. I don't know how many times I've seen memes of it and all this stuff, and people are always talking about how God's got all the riches and glory and he's going to give them to you. He's just waiting to hand them out. But you got to get it in the context. This comes on the heels of you giving what you have to help the missionary. And then God will supply. When you're giving to the point, you're kind of wondering, can we really do this? That's what they were doing. They were giving to the point that he knew their heart, they were starting to get concerned. He said, God's going to supply. God's got this. You give to what God has called you to give to, and he will supply all your needs. Verse 20. Anybody remember what our theme is for the year? There's a banner behind me if you need help. For his glory. Verse 20 says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to know today there are a lot of ways that you can worship God. We worship him through prayer. We worship him through singing. That's what we normally think about worship. That's our worship service, our singing time. I don't think that there's anything, you could argue with me about it later in the Bible. Biblically, I don't believe that there's anything that glorifies God more today than the work of missions. It's church work. We call it missions, but it's really church work. It's taking the gospel to people, and when they're saved, baptizing them, and then discipling them, teaching them to observe all things that Christ has commanded, so that they're equipped to go tell other people and preach the gospel to them. What is that? That's the church. That's the goal. It's church planting around the world. And I don't believe there's anything that can be done in the world today that will glorify God any more than that. We ought to send those missionaries a check every month. When there's special needs, we ought to take up a love offering and pull from the general fund, whatever we got to do. When there's special needs, we ought to help meet those special needs. We ought to provide for them, and we ought to partner with them. When there's work to be done and somebody can go do the work, we ought to send somebody to do the work. Amen? But more than anything, we need to pray for them. We need to pray specifically, fervently, seriously. We've been called, friends. It's not just big churches with ridiculous amounts of money that have been called to global missions. It's every church, and it's this church. Jesus says, I want you to preach the gospel to the whole world. I want you to teach all nations. Friends, how do we do that? How do we do that? Calvary, little old Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Muldrow, Oklahoma. How are we going to take the gospel to the world? Well, we're going to do it the Bible way. We're going to send out missionaries, and we're going to support missionaries who have been sent out. That's how you do it. But we need to do more than just send them a little check every month. We need to pray. We need to partner. And we do need to send that provision. And we need to do it all better than we've ever done it before. This morning as we stand, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to today because I like to be different sometimes. Number one, this morning if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the first part of this invitation is for you to trust Christ. This morning you know that if you died without Christ, you'd end up in hell. And you know this morning you need to be saved. I plead with you that you would repent of your sins, that you would trust in Christ. Today you would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. If you've been saved but you've never been baptized and you know God wants you to be a part of this church, I pray you'd step out and say, I know baptism is the first step of obedience. I've been saved. I need to get baptized and be a part of this church. Serve God right here in Calvary. If He's leading you to that, I pray you'd do it. And to all the rest of you, right where you're at or up here at the front, wherever, it doesn't matter. You can sit back down in your pew. You can come kneel up here. But I want to ask you this morning to come pray for these missionaries. I'm going to stand right here to receive anybody that would come for salvation or baptism just for a minute. But then I'm going to pray, and I hope you'll pray with me for these missionaries. I tried to ask everybody to get one of these cards. So if you've got it, get it out, please. And this morning, instead of just talking about praying for missionaries, let's actually do it. Let's sing. Would you come? Come and pray for the missionaries. Sit down where you're at and pray for them. Whatever you need to do. But let's pray for these missionaries right now.